gotcha.
Jerry Harrison revved up here and did this around the nation on Triple M. Good morning, everybody. You know who it is by now. Tony Martin. We're trying to resist doing Rex Hunt voices today. Because it seems to have caught on all over again. You might remember last year we had a lot of trouble with this.
The girl's happy.
And eventually it had to be banned. Because people were turning against it.
They were.
We sort of
we don't want that.
The whole station was de-rexed.
Yeah.
Stop people saying it around the corridor. But now, thanks to Santo Chilaro bringing in Rex Hunt's address to the nation, it's starting all over again. Hundreds, literally hundreds. You have fooled me! With hundreds of emails requesting we play more. Now, we're only allowed to play a small excerpt of it.
Because of the fucks in the startup industry.
Can we hear that clip just one more time?
For 100 years from now, I dream that a father and his son will catch a mighty big snapper in Port Phillip Bay. And perhaps, just perhaps, they might remember the fat kid from Mordialloc High School who kissed a fish and let it go. They might also remember the same kid standing up to the thugs in the scallop industry who thought their standover tactics would work again. They didn't. Last week, that fat kid was in Cambridge 2 hours out of London. A bloke came up and said he enjoyed my show. He gave me a business card. The address was the Netherlands. This is Dizzy Stuff, folks.
People wanted it as a ringtone, they wanted to motivate them, they wanted it in their car on the way to work,
and
fire people up.
Yeah.
Can't play any more of it. Can't do it.
Hmm.
Have we got any more Rex? I tell you what, this arrived in the mail today.
Yeah.
This is a recent Rex Hunt recording session.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what it is. Do we want to just play it?
Yeah, okay.
Here we go.
Okay, Rex, you comfortable?
Yep.
Now, you've read the text.
Magnificent.
You just want to go for one?
Yeah, look, mate, I've rejigged it a smidge.
What do you mean?
I just put it in the lingo.
Rex, this is a talking book. We have to follow the original.
Yeah, mate, let's just give it a crack.
Well,
come, mate, I'll take. Here we go. As Professor Robert Langdon stood in the famous Museum of the Louvre, looking at the dead body of the museum's renowned curator, he knew instantly who was responsible. Yorkers. Like weights and losers who don't know the meaning of hard work and elbow grease, and who have never done a decent day's hard yakka or toil in their lives. It wasn't the first time the famous professor had been confronted with this skibbity-ibbiter about Opus Dei. Oh, sure, he'd taken on the thugs in the scallop industry and won. Somebody had to. But this Opus Dei mob were fair dinkum mongrels and bludgers. Just like my own critics. Parasites. Knockers. Who went after the first thing about fishing, let you down. Every time, without fail or exception. Oh, sure, Da Vinci had his critics too. But where are they now? Well, I'll tell you, folks. Sitting back on the couch, rolling a fat cigarette, bitching, and waiting for the next handout on the Gravy Train Express to Nowhere Town.
Rex, we might have to drop, well, at the very least, the yibbity yibbity.
Oh, come on, mate, it's just a bit of colour.
And Dan Brown makes no references to the scallop industry.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Suddenly, a voice, a shadowy figure in that famous French museum, the Louvre. It hands the professor a business card. The address, the Netherlands. This is Dizzy Stuff, folks. Old Leonardo was bloody spot on when he said, and I quote, his own words, verbatim, nothing was ever expected while sitting back rolling a fat cigarette.
Look, I don't think this is worth it.
Just keep going. But Professor Langdon dared to dream that maybe, just maybe, or perhaps one day in the future, years from now, a kiddie might pass by that famous French Museum, the Louvre, and remember the fat kid from Mordialloc High who took on the thugs from the scallop industry and the Priory of Sion. Oh yeah, this is Da Vinci stuff, folks.
As it was meant to be heard. You can start doing it.
You do it. Actually, this morning, I was in the bathroom, which is near our office, and you mustn't have known I was there. And you were just going, you were completely by yourself, no one around, just walking up the stairs going, Bunyans! Dead meat! I'm telling you, you love it.
Giant resist.
You have floored me. Totally floored me.
I love that, the hang on totally.
Yeah, yeah,
just in case you didn't get it. It's addictive. What voices can you not stop doing? We'll be talking about that later. Greg Fleet will be on for a bit of that.
Let's get the show started. Here it gets this.
That's news from Powderfinger here again, this Around the Nation on Triple M, where last month, oh no, 2 months ago now, Caporal was taking parts of the nation by storm, I guess that's the word. The Caporal t-shirts that we gave out, it was only 250 of them.
Yeah, limited edition.
That's right. Someone's put one on eBay yesterday.
$5, no bids.
Oh, don't worry, overnight, it's gone mad. Look at this. It's up to $11.09.
This is dizzy stuff, folks.
That's according to Andrew, who's emailed us. I think Cecilia on the phone is going to be providing us with updates here. Let's see if we can get it up. $12.
How much did the nothing that the cage in Melbourne was...
I don't know.
Auctioning off.
I don't know, but it's almost up to 200 and something.
Yeah, but they were dangling nudity in front of the park.
Ah, that's true.
And also it's the charity.
Okay.
See, once you add the charity element,
okay,
we kind of ruins everything.
It does. It ruins all the fun.
So how about this, Tone? How about we throw in a sweetener?
Yeah.
Whoever buys...
No, just hear me out.
Yeah. Whoever buys it, you will wear the T-shirt. That's all. Just the T-shirt, nothing down bottom, and you'll walk, do a little parade.
I will.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Why not?
It's just going to be frightening. That's going to turn viewers away. Or listeners, if you prefer.
See, I'm not built. I'm not stacked.
You're more shaped for this kind of gear.
No.
You've done centurion work. I thank God you're here.
I have done some centurion work.
I've done Hessian sack work. I'll do plenty for this show, but I'm not freeballing.
Really?
It's not going to happen.
You're on the line.
But you have floored me. Totally floored me.
The cable shirt, what is it up to? Do we know Cecilia?
No, it's still starting in.
Get off the porn.
Mm. Have a look. Hey, here's an idea.
Ooh.
From Matthew Chappell. He wants us to celebrate Proctober.
Ah.
To raise awareness for prostate cancer.
Oh, right. How do we celebrate that?
In studio proctology.
Oh.
Fantastic. Proctober coming soon.
I'll be up for it.
You heard it first. Yeah. You were right, Rich, because I know you're still suffering from the effects of this.
Sorry, yeah, no, I have a cold, and plus I just went for a big run downstairs to get something.
Everyone's running and going in a while.
Just go down a flight. But having said that, Lost and Running by Powderfinger, the perfect soundtrack to do it to.
Yeah.
Because it's all about running.
It's all going to be worth it in a few moments, Rich.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get to that. Ringtone. People want this as a ringtone.
Let's give the Labour Party one. Right up the bracket. Thank you.
That was is it Senator?
I'm not sure if he was a Senator, but he was a former Labor, Liberal Minister, Michael Hodgman.
Yeah, there you go. That's who you want ringing your phone. Fantastic. Okay, I've had it enough. Everything has been set up. This is something that's fizzled up on the show for 2 or 3 days now.
Now, this is what I think the problem is, Rich.
Mm.
Whenever you and I decide we're going to do something like this, Tony makes it sound like it's the moon launch, you know, the moon landing or whatever. Like, this is going to be the greatest piece of radio that's ever, you know, he spends 14 hours a day putting late line together and then goes, oh, let's just play this silly little thing I've done. And then it totally kills.
Yeah.
Are you having a heart attack, Rich?
It's not fun. As I said, I just went for a jog.
Is this a plan to try and get out of this sketch, Rich?
Okay. I got a note from his mum.
Because unless I've got a medical certificate.
I just love everything. Everything needs a bit of radio sizzle. We're on a national sort of platform here. Yeah. We're not just turning on daddy rubbish.
But you have floored me.
Yes.
Totally floored me.
This has the potential to bring the show undone.
Totally.
It's great, because this script has been sitting around for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Reworked by Brett Ratner.
That's on parchment.
Okay.
Brett Ratner?
Yeah.
Don't bring his name up.
The director of the Rush Hour films.
Yeah.
That's soiled the atmosphere.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Richard and I have organised an exclusive interview, not with Tony Monfell, not with Kylie Minogue. These are people no one wants to hear from. We've got an interview, Rich, with somebody who has sent over $50,000 to Nigeria to become part of the royal family.
Wow. Right. There's someone who's been getting these emails. They've fallen for the scam.
Okay. And they're very happy. So let's go and cross that interview now.
Tony, time to welcome a man who's sitting here. A man who answered the call to be part of the Nigerian royal family.
Oh, yep.
Simply by sending $20,000 every single month for a year to a random email address. His name is Morgan Sorbet. Morgan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good.
So have you sent money to Nigeria?
Plenty warm feeling inside me I have now.
Thank you. Yes, but have you got anything in return?
Yeah, nuggets of plenty I can steal. Drop me one Sunday at my place and let your eyes rejoice.
But you're wearing a barrel. Your family tells me you're completely broke.
Oh, no. Just hold my plums here for a minute. I am Prince Mr. Nigeria. You can touch me like that, tiny dancer. It's great.
So you're saying you don't regret it?
In the forest full of earrings I live. But these emails go to hundreds of people. I am simply messenger of joy for them.
Well, how can you actually be Nigerian royalty?
Big family is like a bus full of junkies. Scallop industry can feel togetherness of Nigeria royal family through me. I breathe, they live, me and source.
Well, Your Highness, thank you for your time.
Happy to be in you, I am.
I had no idea you could speak fluent scam email.
It's a great language.
Thank you.
It's the language of love. It's the language of poetry.
I speak Pig Latin and scammy man.
Have you noticed they do that thing now where, because they have filters at your server that recognise shonky phrases like real making gold, they do that thing of just typing some random phrase into the headline.
Yeah, cover me in sauce.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah. Mm. Erectile dysfunction, colon, cover me in sauce.
We have got to get... What if we were to write...
We'd lump the two together.
Let's compose a poem.
Yeah.
Like a sort of... I don't know, a masterwork, like an opus, an epic, over 8 or 9 verses. Get Rex Hunt to do it.
Wouldn't that sound good?
Rex Hunt's how?
It'll probably end up being you doing Rex Hunt.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to go with that.
All right. Something else we probably won't get round to. Here, and get this. Thank you, Martha. Thank you, the Muffins. Echo Beach here. Get this on Triple M.
What about a phone topic, Tone? One day.
Yes.
Yeah. Great songs to drive dodging cars to.
Really? Is that the beauty?
I've got to do good songs for driving through the car wash too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about car wash?
Oh, the bikini car wash? Nude car wash. All the nude massage centre where they've done away with car washes altogether.
Car wash. Getting in the way.
Okay, Well, this is a cable T-shirt, one of our old cable T-shirts on eBay. Cecilia, she's on the phone.
It's up to $13 at the moment.
$13? Here comes an update. Cecilia, what's it up to?
$55.
$55 during one Martha and the Muffins track. That's how far it's gone up.
No one's going to pay $55 for a cable T-shirt.
See, that's the kind of power we wield. You know?
I'll sell mine for 15.
We've got Jonestown clout here at this show. Although we haven't managed to get the KFC Tower Burger to come back. A lot of people getting behind that. They want to see that burger. But how big is it?
I don't think I've seen the...
The Tower Burger?
Yeah, how tall?
Comes with a stepladder. Got to bring it back.
Mm.
Not our sponsors, of course. We're talking Nissan Navara with its huge pulling power. What a 4x4. They're our sponsors. There's some kind of downstairs in the sponsorship promotions advertising department.
Yes.
I've never seen such a giant whiteboard. That was a Tower Burger of a whiteboard.
It was just the energy captain had them whipped into a frenzy.
What is going on down there?
They're insight mining.
Insight mining.
Mm.
We've got to go along with some of that.
They're not allowed.
Because they think we'll make fun of it like we're doing right now.
Yeah, we're not very popular around here.
No. Someone said something to me the other day, who works here at the station. I'm going, what are we going to do with all the podcasts that are in there? And he goes, you want to migrate them over to there? I'm going, what are you saying? Because I'd suggested we move them.
No.
He called me up on Nathan.
Yeah.
Migrate them.
Yeah, you could move them, but that would that'd be simple.
I'm saying, hang on. You've actually replaced a shorter word with a longer word.
Yeah.
It takes longer to say that you're going to migrate something.
Yeah. But it's, you don't know, you wouldn't understand it, Tone. It's technical.
Just say moving.
No, migrate. Doesn't make any sense.
Migrate in violation when you migrate there.
I like to migrate it, migrate it. You know that song? I like to leave it, move it.
So it's the same ring.
Right, song. Yeah.
Migrate it on up.
What? Moving on up, sorry.
Is that how you... That's not how it goes.
Oh, I was thinking of...
Moving up, nothing can hold me down.
That's how that goes. I was going back to Curtis Mayfield.
Oh,
I was in people. Theme from the group tube.
Ah, right.
I think you're fine.
Now.
Okay, thank you.
Music.
Yes.
Well, don't we have some music?
Some music. Oh, because you know it's coming in the next hour.
Deeply.
Yeah, it's the creator of Jumper Pants.
We'll find out if that's catching on.
Have you seen much of it in the streets?
No.
Seen anyone doing the cardigan waddle? What is going on out there, hey? What about this? A Chinese man is facing trial over claims he dug a tunnel from his house into an abandoned coal mine. Police found the secret operation during a routine door-to-door search for migrants. We heard loud factory noises coming from someone's house. Upon entering his yard, we found a lot of coal mining tools. Coal mining tools. In several huge piles of coal.
That'd be a giveaway.
Mm. The attendant of the house, Mr. Bruce Wayne, allegedly admitted no. His name's Mr. Song. Songy admitted he had rented the house because it was only 10 metres from an abandoned coal mine. Coal mine, not gold mine. That would be in Nigeria.
Yeah, so hang on. What's he done? He's just reopened the coal mine.
Yeah, he's dug a tunnel from his garage to the coal mine. I don't know why. I'd like to think that it was all just to, you know, maintain one small fireplace. Oh, hang on. A bit nippy. Popping down to the mine.
Yeah, I'll be right.
Like, you know, just hundreds of enslaved children with torches on their head drilling for coal for one bloke. <The song. laughs>
That's going to catch on. Yeah, I need a mine.
Yeah. Secret passages. That's what I like. Did you want one of those when you were a kid?
I have one.
Where you pull a candlestick and a bookshelf swings open?
It wasn't that elaborate. It was more open a door and walk into the crawl space. It was still where I used to hang out.
I was constantly trying the bookshelves. Surely one of these must swing open, leading to a cave. That's all I wanted as a kid. Was that too much to ask?
Yes.
Secret passages. Music. You say music. The music of Greg Fleet. That's a wonderful show. Do you remember when he came in on our 100th show?
Last year.
And serenaded us with Crunk.
Yo, this is all I have to tell you here. You get this crew, check it out. I'm Greg Fleet. MCG. That's FFL. If comedy was Dutch, then I'd be from Holland. Spread the comic on like a BLOG blog. I'm a cog in the wheel. You got bugs, just how you think that I feel. There's a war called the cavalry. To the right sits the main man in cavalry. He'll freak you out because he's young. You're a wowser, but underneath it's my belief. You'll get relief as his mouser. He's pushing with this. His next big is gratuitous. Tony's Dax Curtin. He brings a pickle stack. Loves a tower of compliments, but no longer pull back. As I get to the end of the stanza, Tony Marley is the boss. He's not like Hoff in Bonanza. More like Tony Danza. Or the King of Panza, Nia. Let me make it clear. Know a lot about that nation. The capital is
Jerusalem.
For your information, call to my sister. Love yo-yo, stick the pocket fister. So it goes, coat and hose, on carrying your clothes. How many shows? Down your toes, my friend. Multiply the number by 10. Expect it to move. Charles D. Yes, yes, come on. Pick them up to the list. Call me Blooms. Out, out.
He's updated on the whole situation. Everything that he's missed.
That was every topic we talked about on the show last year.
Yeah, it seems a bit thin now, doesn't it?
I don't remember us talking about Charles Dance that much.
But Tony Danza, guilty.
You know.
What about the listeners? Why can't they have a bite and they need a bite? We'll do that next. In multi-grain, brought to you by the Nissan Navara with its huge pulling power. Just looking at what's shown up on the nerd desk today. We're mentioning HBO shows. We love them.
We do.
Is there a bad one?
Was there a bad one?
I remember Dream On. That was pretty ordinary, but that was years ago.
Carnival was
fantastic, but they axed it.
Yeah.
Like the English one? No, it was like it was a travelling carny show.
You know, you're saying that because it was on the ABC and everything just seemed English.
It was.
It's on the ABC. Yeah. People saying you forgot Rome. That was supposed to be pretty good. I didn't see Rome.
The whole series based around the B-52 song.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem he'd get a whole series out of it.
I know. That guy just up the back constantly going,
as big as a whale.
I like that guy. I don't. I just like saying that bit. Rome. Now, this is interesting. I think the Rome they showed on Channel 9 here was the censored version made for British audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Often HBO will do a tamer version.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Important to know.
What else?
Okay, the bid for the Capral T-shirt. This man here, Jeremy, is bidding for it. What are we up to, Nikki? Where is it?
$80.
And we're not even doing it for a good cause.
$94
for a limited edition.
I just know that I don't like this. Because we gave it away in good faith, right?
Mm.
And now someone's trying to profit off that. Yeah, that's not cool.
Do things necessarily have to be cool on Get This? Yeah. Think about that one.
Big Love. That's another one we've missed off the list. That's on the ABC. That was rejected by Channel 9. They slung it to Channel 9. They said, no one's blonde. Give it to SBS.
Apparently that's great with Bill Paxton on Sunday night.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for the HBO show.
Okay.
Environmental Affairs. Are we canvassing it today? Yes, coming soon.
Now what's melting?
But in the meantime, let's have some music. Have we got anything that sounds like New Crowded House?
Get This around the nation on Triple M. We left another one off our HBO list. Falls. That's the prison one.
Beauty.
Yeah, that one's hilarious. I'm just too frightened to watch that show. You watched that one, Rich?
Yeah, I've watched a few of them, yeah.
You love prison dramas?
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's like Sex in the City meets
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Who we've got tomorrow?
Will Arnett.
Joe from Arrested Development. Co-hosting in the second hour. He was in a prison movie, Let's Go to Prison.
Always in Let's Go to Prison. Which is funny because his character, Joe, does that in the Arrested Development series.
Yeah.
He breaks, you know what I'm saying? Maybe.
Okay.
Look, Tyrone, I'm
going to put a lava lamp on and think about that.
I'm nervous. All right?
I'm nervous.
Nervous. Hey, let's climb Silkback Mountain.
Sleep
to come up with them.
What are we talking about today?
Disgusting couple
behavior. On our phones. Disgusting couple behavior. What's brought this on?
I was in the gym yesterday, and there was a dude, like being a personal trainer for this girl.
Yeah.
And he kind of put his hand on her bum, and I was like, that's a bit fresh.
Yeah.
And then she kind of kissed him on the cheek, and I thought, well, I mean, it's good service and everything, but what's going on?
The top regime.
Yeah. I realized that they were a couple.
Oh, okay.
And so. If you can imagine, she's sort of lying on her back, and he's like helping her stretch her legs, sort of like back over towards her own head.
Yeah.
But then just kind of like, they're going like, and like giggling and kissing each other.
Right in the middle of the gym. Great stand-up comedian, the late Drake Sather used to have a great attitude to that. If you see that sort of stuff in public, you can just go up, and apparently it's on. You can just be as obscene as you want.
Come on, get it on! Go for it! And then when they complain, well, you started this.
Yeah.
It's a good way to go. It was all under the guise of stretching and touching and laughing.
Right. Disgusting couple behaviour. I think Cecilia was complaining to friends of hers have, two cutesy nicknames for each other.
Like Poss, she said they call each other.
Poss.
Children Possum.
The international observer in yourself.
Her full name the whole time. First name and last name.
We get into a bit of that. It's a variation on that at our place, which is the Cockney insult that we've heard on TV. You blag, you scrag, you mole, you harridan.
So romantic.
I know, it's so romantic. Using all the English insults. Hussy, trollop, floozy.
What is this? Trumpets.
Trumpets, yeah. But to never bust that out in public,
no.
Or certainly talk about it on a national radio program. Mr. Marsden?
Well, I know that in past relationships, because you never actually use each other's name, you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah, I know, but I've never called a girlfriend by her actual name. It always develops into darling or sweetie or something like that.
Yeah.
So when
milady.
Oh. So when you really want to get their attention, that's when you use their actual name.
Right.
Oh, okay. Girls don't like that.
They hate that.
They hate the sound of their own name.
Not into that.
Also, in terms of disgusting couple behaviour, I know a couple who, at the end of a wash cycle, if there's no underpants around, they'll wear each other's. That's true.
Yeah, come on.
It's kind of off-putting. Now,
yeah.
It's one thing to marry your cousin and put the photograph in the newspaper of a weekend, which most people seem to be doing.
You seem to think so.
It's another thing. These really big frilly numbers aren't mine, but geez, they're comfy.
Yeah.
In your front room. Mm. What if, the other one I hate is when they buy something, couples buy something domestic and they think you care. I once went round to my friend's house and he was with his sort of live-in girlfriend. And they said, do you notice anything different about the house? And I was like, well, no. Well, really, you're sitting on it. New couch. No.
You hit the baby.
No. Look, we got some new cushions for the couch. We went last Saturday to IKEA, and he wanted to get the brown ones. But I said, no, we are having the mustard. And I think I was right.
That'll be you one day.
Okay.
That'll be you.
It will not be me. No dates, Tony. No dates.
No?
Yeah.
Okay, what about doing gratuitous Rex Hunt impressions around the house? You get into that with the missus?
I do it. No one else knows what I'm talking about.
You know.
Do you do it?
Here's some dinner for you. You have floored me. Totally floored me. Yeah, it's headed for the divorce courts, I think. Hey, listen to this. Here's some... we've been responsible for some annoying couple behaviour. Jules, a.k.a. Dingo Lady, says, you guys should be shot on sight. Patricia... I know. It's a tad extreme.
Wow.
For teaching my husband the words, how come... As in Police 10-7, that's now his answer to everything. It's so annoying. Now, what she's referring to is a clip we played of a drunken gent on the New Zealand cops show Police 10-7, where he's going this cop, but in true polite New Zealand criminal way, totally pulls a U-turn at the end. Listen to this.
There's a drunk police causing annoyance on a street of Edinburgh.
By the time they arrived, a group of neighbours have cornered the drunk in a garden, and when Peter Ott tries to take him away, he decides it's a good time to put up a struggle.
Oh, don't be silly now.
Wait.
How silly.
Paul's been drinking for hours, and it started chasing people around the street before police were called.
I'm gonna kill you, Paul.
You have a right to a phone for making a statement.
I know the woman who wants the help.
Okay, do you understand what I'm just told?
What do you mean?
Look that way, Brian. I'm just going to help you.
You're just racist, mate.
Okay.
You're racist.
What you like?
You're racist.
Okie doke.
You're racist.
Okay. I told you you're under arrest for disorderly behavior.
No, never told me.
Oh, well, I just did.
How come?
So that is driving
down that hedge, and I'll tell you,
Jules is fed up with that.
Well, bad luck.
All our fault, apparently. Disgusting couple behaviour. Let's hear about it. 1-3-3-3.
Can I just quickly say this?
Yeah, dovetail.
You dovetail with something that you think is cute that you and your partner do.
All right.
That way, Tony, we'll get to make fun of it.
All right. There's an invite. There's a call. 1-3-3-5-3.
They would have loved that.
It's because Greg Fleet's coming.
Yeah.
I'm getting Fleet pun fever early. Get this on Triple M.
How come?
Because it is.
Jeez, man.
Drunken Pacific Islander from Police 10-7. Today we're canvassing disgusting, or otherwise, couple behaviour. Who's got some here?
Hi, Matt.
Hey, good day.
What do you got, mate?
Oh, well, as terms of endearment, last year we watched the whole series of Deadwood.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah, all of them. And so, yeah, in terms of endearment, we'd walk around being alpha engines with each other.
Yeah. Got early with the vomiting there, Richard. Are there any Deadwood terms of endearment that you could say on a radio program where children might be listening?
Not really.
What about Hooplehead? That's not too bad, is it? You goddamn dirt worshipper. Okay, yeah. That's not bad. Thanks, Matty. That's all right.
Dovetail. This weekend we'll probably go by the newest series of Scrubs and spend the whole long weekend watching that.
I want to give you the spew noise, but that sounds pretty fun, Matt. So yeah. I think you're off the hook. Listen, she's a keeper, dude.
A DVD series lock-in.
Good on you, man. Giving me hope. All right. Thanks, Maddie. Hello, Madeline. How are you?
I'm good.
What's going on? What have you got?
Every time I go over to my friend's house, she has this calendar and it has sexual positions for each day of the year.
Yeah.
And every time I go over there, she tells me which one she's up to.
Oh, really?
The girl's happy.
Thank you, Rick. So they're following the calendar.
Yeah.
Are they up to the Turkish grip at all, Madeline?
No, I try not to take notice.
Fair enough.
I think, what is it today? 7th of June, that's Reverse Cowgirl.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know what it is.
That's the anniversary.
But Richard Marsden is drawing a diagram as we speak.
Thank you, Madeline. That's disgusting. Hello, Peter. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, thanks.
What's going on, man?
I quite often see people on public transport, like couples, mm-hmm. picking each other's pimples.
Oh! It's set off Greg Fleeter's you always arrive early. You're
picking pimples on public transport. It's fine in the face, but when they go for the ones on the bum and the back, that's not very true.
You say you hear this, see this quite a lot, Peter.
Yeah, well, I don't drive, so I get public transport a lot, yeah.
Good on you.
I don't get public transport that often. I usually get cabs because the mirror is better for squeezing zits.
All right, well, that's disgusting.
Thank you, Peter. Behavior is what we ask for. Who's going next?
Hey, Matthew, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Ed. How are you?
Thanks, my sir. What have you seen?
Mate, me and my wife work late on Wednesday nights, and when we have both cars at work, it's a drag race from every set of lights from the work all the way home.
Oh, that sounds real romantic, as long as it's at legal speeds, of course.
Yep.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. And, as a dovetail, we spend our nights watching Stingers DVDs.
Buy Stingers on DVD.
No, you don't, Matthew.
I've got the one step of, one step of whatever with that, because I used to share a house with Ben Mendelsohn, and he and I used to do exactly the same thing coming home from breakfast. We'd go for brekkie, and then we'd have a little drag race on the way home. Yeah. And he's been in Stingers, and so have I. So it's 1 degree
there
of,
we go.
1 degree of Stingers.
And can I just ask, Matthew, who wins these races?
Well, when I used to have the company car, she would win because she had the better car, but now my car's a little bit over hers.
So. Yeah.
You said the company car would always win because you could, go from fourth to reverse and stuff like that.
The company car's a bit crap.
And do you give it, the insults, the dissing at the light to get into that?
Oh, it's definitely. Whoever gets to the gate at home first has to open the gate.
Oh,
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, when
you get home, is it straight to the sexual position calendar?
No, straight to the Stingers DVD.
We'll give it a bit of September 14 later. All right, that's pretty good. Who's going next?
Hi, Shane, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
And what have you seen?
I've seen Brotown with my girlfriend. And I got one saying off it, which was pow pow.
Yes.
I don't know if you know what that means.
No, I haven't seen Bro. Now, this is a cartoon series from New Zealand.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not about a whole... It's not Alan Bro and his family living in a town.
Although he could do some of the voices, being in New Zealand.
He could, but no, it's not.
What's the cleanest way that you can describe Pow Pow?
It's a sexual term.
Yeah. Well,
but I use it in other terms, like I get a dinner, I go, oh, nice dinner, Pow Pow.
Oh, right.
You can have the chicken pow-pow.
I use it in everything, and she got that sick of it, and she won't let me watch Brotown anymore.
Oh, Brotown's bad.
That's
nice. BT banishment.
That's yeah, well, when she says that you can't watch Brotown, you just say,
how come?
There you go. We were looking for that clip, that's why there was a long gap.
Yeah, that's should have seen the terror on the face of the Armitage Shanks.
Have we got one more?
Hello, Adam. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate.
We're great, man. What's going on?
My wife and I, we call each other baby and pumpkin, stuff like that.
Yeah. That's pretty standard
that
stuff.
That upsets your friends, though.
We go around a friend's house, and within a fortnight, he's calling his wife what I've come up with.
Utilizing your terms of endearment.
That is great.
So I make a new one up, 2 weeks later, he's using it again.
Oh,
I was wondering why that neighbour of yours calls his wife Toilet Head.
That's what you've got. You've just got to start making it really insulting one.
Yeah.
You rank old mole. Yeah, let's steal that one.
Yeah. I'm going to call you that, and then we're going to get it all.
Yeah. Well, there you go. A core sample. Or a sample.
Yeah.
Sample. Or a sample.
Either way.
Sorry, I've just been to Brokeo just for a moment.
Just for one syllable.
It was a weird half sentence of Brokeo.
Normally only happens when I'm drunk.
I was going to say in the next hour, Greg Fleet's here. But he's already leaving. He's leaving.
They're exploitative. They take every opportunity to exploit the public.
Rex Hunt Thursday.
If you just joined us, you would not think it was any different than usual.
Last time Matt Parkinson, the Cage in Melbourne, was on the show, he told a, well, I guess the word is defamatory story about himself up in ski fields. What was the gist of it, Ed?
The gist of it was that Parko had gone to sleep, you were on the top bunk sleeping, middle of the night you got up, decided to relieve yourself.
Feel a bit of weight.
Yeah, you thought that the wall next to Parko's head was the bathroom.
Well, what it was that actually that thing where I don't actually get very drunk when I get drunk anymore. I used to, when I'd get really drunk, I would get up in a situation like that and walk to where the toilet would be in my flat. So I wandered around this room and it just turned out it was against the wall next to his head. I just stood there and started doing weight. But the gist was he didn't want to say anything. He woke up, saw it, and didn't want to say anything because he knew that I'd turn and I'd immediately turn towards him and cover him in weight, which would be freeze to him.
That's right.
No. So... yeah.
He'd be wearing a frozen Wii helmet.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he would.
But then when I brought that up again, you were like, that's not even my best Wii story.
Oh, no. Parko thinks, he's all smart and all that, and he tells a bit of a Wii story. But listen, you know, I keep my best Wii stories, I keep them in the real story, which is a Latvian accent. My best Wii story, I also did... Once, in a similar situation, comedy tour, got very drunk in Adelaide.
Yes.
Woke up doing wee on Tim Smith's feet. He was in bed, and I was actually this time weeing on his bed, on his feet, and didn't tell him, and it was never brought up. So I assume to this day, Tim Smith thinks, geez, it's weird that someone went to Adelaide and did wee out of my feet. But one time, I was living with my girlfriend, who was a lady, who I did with in the mood. But we were living in a flat, and a friend stayed the night, this girl stayed the night, and all this story's got a lot to do with drinking. Mm-hmm. She got very drunk, and we had one of these, like this wicker laundry basket in our room. It was about,
Wicker laundry basket.
But it was one of those ones that looked a bit like if you played some sort of weird flute, that it was possible a cobra would come out.
Yeah, right.
One of those deals. And we're in the middle of the night. My girlfriend and I hadn't gone to sleep yet. We were lying in the glow. And our friend comes in. This girl comes into the room, clearly sleepwalking, walks in her 90, pulls her 90 up, sits on our little wicker basket and does wee on her clean clothes. And then gets up and goes back out to the bathroom. Now, then you're left with the problem. What do? Do you go, hey, you just did wee on our clothes, or do you just wear it and forget about it? Or,
Because you're not allowed to wake up a sleepwalker, is that right? Something terrible would happen.
Yeah, they'll freak out. Apparently, if you wake them up, they turn into zombies, and then it's all up.
Yeah,
it's been a good game. Yeah. I know this is getting off track, so you just slap me if it's getting too off track. I was playing this game with a friend the other day called If Something, What Would You Something?
And
it's like, if you're attacked by... It's got to do with being attacked. So, okay, if you're attacked by zombies in a hardware store, what weapon would you use to defend yourself?
Axe.
Axe is an absolute beauty. I chose nail guns.
Nail
guns good because I thought, and what I'd do is I'd stand there with a nail gun and I'd just take out zombies until I had one nail left. Then I'd put the nail gun up to my head and then go, no, and put the nail through my own foot. So I'm stuck there and I just go, and fight them. So I couldn't run away.
Are people likely to encounter the undead at Bunnings? Is this helpful advice?
So they certainly won't run into them at Home Hardware, which I think you'll find is the quality
hardware
store.
Sorry.
Near faux pas. Yes, well, you'd be talking to the yellow dog. Sandy is my name. I am the yellow dog. You know that, don't you?
Do you have to, the voice of Sandy, the yellow Home Hardware dog. Mm-hmm. Do you feel when you're out in public that you have to watch your behaviour because you don't want to do anything that would bring disrespect to Sandy?
Not so much to Sandy, but to Mr. Hardware himself. I do have to kind of watch myself. I find licking my genitals, for example. I do that unless I'm at home. Scooting my bum along the carpet. I do that maybe in a library, but only if there's no one looking.
It's Sandy's gear.
It's, well,
it's good that you bring up your own behaviour because it does serve as an inspiration to a lot of our listeners. Does hence the game, What Would Greg Fleet Do? We're gearing up for that. That'll be soon. I'll get this. That was me. Now I know.
Yeah.
Leave me alone here. Get this on Triple M. Greg Fleet is sitting in for this.
Got some amazing news. The media empire news.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know if everyone's aware of this, but James Packer has decided. Well, Kerry Packer died.
Yeah.
And James Packer is packing it in, as it were.
Sure.
He's actually resigning. And the family empire is being taken over by their younger, woolier brother, Al Packer.
Oh, dear. Well, two breaks before Fleet kind of beat.
Oh,
hey, does anyone in this room have a birthday June the 2nd?
No.
I didn't realise this. June the 2nd is International Whores Day.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, International Whores Day.
It's not called, like, sex worker or anything. No.
See,
this was in the paper over the weekend. Celebrating International Whores Day, a group of Sydney prostitutes took their first protest march to one of the Harbour City's most public places, the Opera House. This was the other day.
You should have gone to Rose Hill. They could have had horse racing. Anyway, keep going.
Yes, move on.
Okay,
International Whores Day is normally celebrated on June 2nd to commemorate a protest in the French city of Lyon in 1975 when sex workers staged a sit-in at a church, a lap dance at a church, mass lap dance, after what they thought was a campaign of police harassment. So if you're a June 2nd birthday,
you're a whore. Well, you can be. Yeah, you can be. You can do it in the mood without a velocipede outside your window, but as long as cash changes
hands. So hello to International Whores. What else has been going on?
Isn't International Whores like where the Thunderbirds work?
I don't know.
What else is going on with Greg Fleet? Speaking of the Packer Empire, I couldn't help but notice you on the catch-up last week.
Oh, you were on the catch-up.
Well, I got away with it.
I watched it without the sound on.
Oh, so
I
could, was it better?
No, I could see the bemused looks you were getting. I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Yeah, pretty much the same kind of stuff I say here, but not met with the same support as you.
I don't like the references to Charles Darwin and Albert Camus.
Midday. Oh, they were really down the Camus stuff. You know, you'd think he was some obscure French author. But it was actually kind of, it was okay. I was on with the assistant editor of Ralph magazine, and we were on there because, you know, they'd been told that everything you know about men is not true. And so they were asking, you know, do men like being norms, and do men like small norms, and all that. And I was just going, look, basically, they said, should women, you know, aim to be really skinny? And I said, yes, they should aim to be really skinny, but not care if they don't achieve it. Because that's all that it really takes. It's just the effort to, you know, like, I've slept with plenty of people who aren't really skinny, but, you know.
Yes, I think we've heard about a few of them.
We're reading it this half hour. No, that was 16 of those ones, but, you know, it's just the effort. It's just, you know, like, so we're trying to remember the difference between men and women. Did I have the riverboat captain's facial hair?
Yeah.
So I was saying that was one of the big differences to me between men and women, is men will deliberately do something to their appearance that's quite ugly to amuse other people.
Yeah.
Whereas women generally don't do that.
No, you don't sort of see the mutton chop riverboat.
Not a dolphin on your lady.
And the assistant editor of Ralph magazine, was he, when you went to the ads, was he expressing his concern that the magazine had introduced the booty bank? Because I know other publications, I think Time magazine are going to get a booty bank.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Well, he didn't seem to care as much, and I'll tell you something, a bit of a secret. He was actually a really lovely guy, but I'll tell you something, I just assumed he was like some guy they found at, like, sort of Cape Bloke, you know, and it's like, you know, this sort of just, he lives in a land of giant breasts and all that stuff. And I said, oh, well, you know me for this, and he said, I was working at NW. And I went, the booty bank.
Yeah,
I'm going to photograph of six bums.
Yeah.
With a little bit too much other stuff being revealed.
That one, the booty bank is overdrawn.
There's a lot of interest being paid on that particular booty bank.
Who is going to be the first person from this show to get their ass into the Zoo magazine booty bank?
I'm thinking possibly Nikki.
Well,
Richard. More so than us.
Richard, cool. And he's got tattoo on there, do you know? Richard or Russell Crowe tattoo on your ass.
Actually Metallica, but
there you go.
I actually had the full thing done.
The crackback
is back.
The Annalise crackback is back.
Yep. I didn't have her do it, though, unfortunately.
Why'd you have it, Phoebe?
I was bored. I did it with tweezers. One at a time.
Ow! Ow!
There's too much information out. Hey, can we just ask, when you're on the catch-up, now, this is something that Ed actually dreamed, but we'd like to think that it maybe happens every day. When Libby Gore got up at the end of the show, was there a suffocating sound man with a boom underneath?
There was indeed. But also, I felt, I've known Libby Gore for a while, so she didn't necessarily want to flee the action, and she's happily married. Of the four women who work on that show, three of them really wanted to flee the magic. You could tell. I was working on the show. I actually was actually working.
The mutton
trying to
shop.
Pick up. No, I cut that back. I cut that to just the 70s porn mo. There is a small mo. And I reckon, pretty much, you look around Australia, you ask any woman, they all want the bleeding magic.
We'll find out if that's true. That's an outrageous claim.
Cecilia doesn't look that keen.
She wants the magic. Look, you know what? The first thing they do is say no. Well, they know, but you'll know that eventually they're going to come knocking on my door going, hey, you know, I said no about the fleeting magic. Oh, can I have someone? I go, I'm not too sure about that.
I've got my own philosophy.
Okay, then.
We'll find out if these outrageous claims are true next.
Enormous fruits.
Now available in multi-grain, thanks to the Nissan Navara with its huge pulling power. Greg Fleet is here, an internationally recognised clear thinker, wouldn't you say, Ed?
Definitely.
Well, let's put these powers to use on problems that we're all facing. I think we need some music, though.
Can we improv something, or why don't we chuck something together?
Okay, have you got your little wood blocks there?
Yeah.
Try hand me
a
bit of that. Oh, that sounds
nice. Oh, nice. You want me on?
One of those, like, scratchy things that you turn.
Yeah, I got one here.
Mr. Martin, you have...
Oh, that sounds like it's just been caught having a coffee in Greece with a wig on.
Here's the problem for you. Stumper Greg, you're a fugitive, an international fugitive with millions and millions of dollars at your disposal.
Why are you telling people about my life?
Sorry. Okay,
hypothetical.
You need to disguise your appearance. What do you do? What's the answer?
I certainly wouldn't try and adjust my height or weight. What I'd do is probably just... Took on something that looked like a wig.
Yeah, really looked like a wig.
Yeah, yeah. So that people went, that's got to be real hair because no one would wear a wig that fake. and then they'd just be so dead. They'd just go, no, God, that guy's hair is so hideous. I can't look at it anymore. Let's go try and find this criminal.
Sorted,
pretty much. Well, that's what I'd do. Or I would I'd have, like, a tranquilizer gun with some of my product in it. And I'd, every time somebody came to arrest me, I'd shoot them. With like my ecstasy gun, and they just go, oh, yeah, very good guy, that'd be cool.
Don't you think that because he's in the motor truck wearing the wig, should just wear it all the time from now on?
Oh, yeah.
All court appearances. That wonderful little corridor you get, usually I think in the Victorian courts, it's that tiny corridor from the van to the car.
They have that in Sydney as well.
That's called the jacket corridor, because that's usually where they put the jacket over your head.
It's about a second and a half of exposure. And you remember when Naomi Campbell was being forced to do her
community service?
Yeah, and she would wear. She was actually being sponsored to wear outfits. factor in.
Oh, the 1.5 second walk.
Yeah, so what about on the 1.5 second walk?
That's an opportunity to go begging.
Yes.
Advertising space.
Every sort of, you know, every time Carl Williams is in court.
Okay.
Who are you wearing?
Okay, I've got another Fashion Week next year.
Yep.
The four of us stage you know what I mean, like a fashion parade.
Yeah.
Where it's just a van.
Yep.
With criminals getting let out, you can only see the clothes for 1.5 seconds.
That's a great idea.
But I reckon the main bit of clothing you see is the jacket, because it's usually over the head.
Over the head.
It's basically a jacket parade.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, good idea.
Jumper pants over the head.
Jumper pants over the head. Oh, that's why I love coming here, because it's not just one man working alone. It's a conglomerate.
It's a crucible of ideas.
Oh, it's a melting pot. It's an absolute tomorrow. Oh, sorry, Charles.
Another question for Mr. Fleet. Any stumpers, anything you want cleared up?
You've sent your picture into the booty bank a few times and it's been rejected. You're wearing as skimpy as you can think to wear. What do you do, Greg? How do I get it in?
Nude, right up.
Get away with the G-string.
Yeah, forget that you draw the G-string on.
He's holding it.
Draw it on.
Yeah. Drawn on G.
In what? Texter? Liquid paper?
I'd go
honey.
I'd go with all. I'd go with honey. Absolutely. Because that can be naked off.
All right. Mr. Marsden, any stumpers for the Fleet Man?
Let's think on a grander scale, Greg. What about the Russian missiles row? With Tony Blair and Vladimir Putin, see if you can wrap your head around that.
He stepped into the Russian missile, is what I've just read. Tony Blair stepped into a Russian missile. By bluntly warning Vladimir Putin, he must decide whether he wants a constructive relationship with the West or a punch in the face. Yeah, listen, missile boy. Yeah.
Are you a fan of Putin?
I don't mind the Pope because, to me, the Pope is a little bit nuts and he's bringing it old school. And I reckon he might just go, have a crack at this and just do something crazy.
He likes, having someone get a bit of plutonium,
He doesn't mind with that.
He doesn't mind mystery gas. Remember Vladimir Putin's mystery gas?
Doesn't mind the poisoning and doesn't mind blaming MI5 for it.
Yeah. I've got a Vladimir Putin tattoo, which is fantastic because if you look at it, it's motivational because it just says, put in! What about the listeners?
They
got a stumper, some sort of problem, some sort of family dispute, maybe a neighbours at war today, tonight style
thing. I can fix it up. I can
whisper. More neighbours at war on the current affairs show last night.
Oh, that's awesome. You fenced me.
You've always got to have at least one fat bloke with no shirt on.
Definitely.
And preferably a smoky voiced old crime matriarch type.
take no nonsense old brawl.
Bit of Kath Bedingill action going on.
Any sort of relationship dramas, anything.
Bearing up, you ask me, I tell you, you get to solve problems.
Simple as that. 1-3-3-5-3. That song is technically illegal under Stage 4 restrictions. Dragon with Rain here at the official throughout the nation on Triple M, where we're playing. What would Greg Fleet do? Here's what he'd do. He'd run up the corridor at 100 miles an hour. Hoping, obviously, that we were playing the extended mix of Dragon. We've got people on the line with genuine problems.
I thought that was the extended version of Dragon.
Yeah, right. Who's got a time?
Hi, Leon. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
Good, mate.
Pretty good.
Put it to Greg.
Stump me, baby.
All right, Greg, sorry. You've been hired by Russell Crowe to bring back his career, and you need to write a movie starring him. What would your pitch be?
Okay. It's,
Preferably a musical as well.
Russell Crowe, obviously, you start with that.
Russell Crowe, Danny DeVito.
Oh, yeah, I like this.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, it's all
Tony Martin.
It, me, okay.
Ed Cavalier.
Okay.
Quintuplets.
Okay, wow.
Okay. Which is weird, because the number doesn't quite work. Or does it?
Are we Siamese quintuplets? Are we all joined at the hip? Do we have any trouble getting out of a lift?
What do you mean, are we? Of course you are. It's a movie. Don't be ridiculous. And so Ramadan Shanks plays a surgeon who has to decide which, because only one of them can live.
Would Russell get to do a big speech? Would it be the five of us? The five of me, we stand here united as one soul. Bastard sons of a bastard father. And together we'll save the orphanage.
I think
gets a massive hit. Come ahead.
And I would actually play the corrupt kind of what do you call it?
Orphan leader.
Yeah, like you know the guy who Johnny Cash played in Gladiator.
Johnny Cash in Gladiator. I think we're moving on. Thank you very much, Leon.
Hi, Shane. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
What is your name, my friend?
I've just told your neighbour to be quiet, and he's come at you with a screwdriver.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, is he going to fix your car or is he going to fix your door?
You know what he's going to try and do? He's going to try and stick that screwdriver in you, my friend. But you know what you do? You know what you do, my friend? You call out for the cab man, you call out for the fleet man, and the next thing you know, you got an axe and you got a nail gun at your disposal, and your neighbour is suddenly a little DIY.
There you go.
Yeah,
well, sorry, the idea for us is just really good.
On that thing of talking about, you know, like going at zombies with weapons,
yes.
When we were on this tour and we were driving around this bus forward going, well, would you go in, would you go in with this, would you go in with that? We pulled into one really small town and there was a kid standing in the middle of the road. You know when you're bored and you're a kid, standing in the road with a shovel, slamming the shovel into the cement gutter. And I just went, how, that is the kid I would want at my back when the zombies attack. His weapon of choice is not only a shovel, but a blunt shovel. He's blunting it up.
That's what's going on in rural Australia. Who's going next?
Hi, Boyd, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
Excellent.
I want to help you, Boyd.
Well, okay. You were talking about, you know, being attacked by zombies.
Yep.
I've got a different what if for you.
Okay.
You're walking down Swanston Street in the city of Melbourne, and up ahead there's a big black cloud.
Ooh.
And there are people running and screaming, and there's just chaos in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the cloud's coming towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And as it approaches, you realise it's a big swarm of bats.
Yeah.
Now, you're with your best mate at the time, and you turn to him and you go, this is kind of insane. So the bats come up, and they swarm all around you, and then they pick up your best friend, and they fly off with him.
Right. Is this something that's actually happened to you, boy?
No, it hasn't, but I mean, I think we've got to be prepared.
Yeah. What would you do?
What would I do?
In Swanston Street, Melbourne.
What would I do? I would go straight home to my mansion. I would get my butler, and I would say, I'm going to go where? He would open up some weird bookcase that would have a pole in it. I would jump on the pole. I would slide down into an underground cave where I have many computers. I would also arrive in a suit, like a bat. I would be suddenly going by the name Batman.
It's just going to take hours. They've already stolen the girl. I mean...
Yeah, wouldn't that imply that you...
There's a girl. I thought it was your best mate. It was actually a girl they taken. I'd just punch on with the bat then and get me the chick back.
Three-piece white tuxedo and a sandwich board for the Australian Diamond Cup. The bats will see that and they'll go, oh, boy, that guy! They'll go, yeah, him, you'll get a leaf with it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Solutions, practical solutions to our next
one. Finally, Paul, how are you?
Paul.
Paul, are you there?
Oh, well, look, I've already made an answer to this problem.
Hello, who's there?
Hello.
Hey, Paul.
I'll tell you what you can do. If you ever are harassed, when we used to hand out flyers in the street, I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but I love this. When you used to hand out flyers for our shows, like in Adelaide or Edinburgh or whatever, where I'm going this year, that's right, we'd be handing out flyers, and we'd do this thing called the Lord and Minion. Have I talked about it before?
In this exact time slot.
No, I'm not talking about it again, so forget it. No,
this is not what would Greg Fleet do again.
No, but it could be. But maybe I do the same thing more than once.
No, this is where we ask the question. Excuse! Yes, bang, that is
it's the John Butler Trio, the Pocket Your Butler Trio, as we call
it. I'm glad he's just a couple of birds. Hey, the last time you were here,
after you left, we got everything you said and we chopped it up and we fashioned it into something called the Flipcast 2.
Oh my goodness, am I going to get blackmailed with this? Is it something where I admit to something I didn't really do?
I can't remember what's in there, but it's pretty incriminating. Yeah, it's incriminating, it's inflammatory. Flipcast 2 up on the website, the first of our guests to get a second dedicated podcast.
Oh, yes! Well, I love this show so much. I get so excited when I come here.
Well, there's so much at the website. If you go to the website and look at the podcast,
www.lamb.com.au/get this.
That's your thing.
Oh,
I'm so excited. Well, this week we added podcast 91. Thank you. Super. Of course, you can still get podcast 19. I like one of my favourites, podcast. It was way back in the early days, podcast. Clearly out of date.
Tonight, I'm going to party like podcast 1999.
It's podcast 92, and we don't have.
Well, in 7 podcast time, you know we can get the song.
Yeah, so we're all looking forward to that. We might have jumped to that one.
Yeah.
But we don't really have a song with the number 92 in. But nonetheless,
in here, 92.
That's what I came up with.
I'm happy with podcast 92. I'd laugh till I nearly threw up.
Saw the details following.
There's nothing for snacks or friends. There's no bulby plums.
There's no sign of what animal would you steal from the zoo, the zoo, the zoo.
But I'm hoping for Seth will chop
and Andrea Powell and Peter Rosethorn as well.
Is right up. That is one of my favourite things you've ever done.
I've just seen Matt Dow, because he's such a purist on the Possum Head game, but we haven't got an instrumental. You're going to be able to hear the real David Bowie underneath.
Oh.
Wasn't happy.
Your answer to that was?
I'll put that phase effect on.
There you go.
And you won't notice.
There we go.
Yeah,
and we did it. It's an old trick I learned from Phil Spector.
Shooting ladies in the teeth.
Wearing a dodgy wig.
This 40 cents, I was going to keep, but I'm now giving that to you for what you do.
To buy my own authentic Tony Mockbell wig.
Yeah.
What about for Mockbell, when he comes back, do all the Spector wigs?
Yeah.
Every day, different Spectre week.
He won't expect that.
Okay, you've sold the atmosphere. I'm just going back to wind things up in a moment.